not planning on keeping you very long, but I want to title this message, Make Some Noise for God, Not the Devil. Psalms chapter 100, a psalm of praise unto the Lord. Stand for the reading of God's word, since we don't get to stand very much here in church, Trinity. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with thanksgiving, with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Because of his goodness, we are made a part of that. In 2022, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. All through the Bible, we see the exhortation to praise and to worship God. And I'm thankful for our praise and worship team. To praise and to worship the Lord. Can I tell you, it's our relationship that makes that connection with Jesus Christ. We are bringing him gifts of ours, of ourself, to totally give to him as we give him our undivided attention. As we get lost in his presence, in this generation of worshipers, we have taken on a spirit of apathy, sad to say, but I'm so thankful for the Church of Trinity that knows how to worship God. But in so many instances and cases, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in that we get caught up in the spiritual apathy of just, well, whatever. Or that because we have so much on our mind when we come into the house of God, or we have taken on extra baggage of busyness or self-absorption and an overindulgence of pleasure. There's a lot of noise going on in our world today. But seemingly not too much joy unto the Lord. We come to the church. We come to church with everything on our mind except giving God our undivided attention. How many knows he deserves our undivided attention? Yeah. We've either had an argument with our wife because we didn't park in the right space outside, or we're upset because our clothes were not right. We got up late to do anything about it. The kids aren't cooperating. We've already missed the first part of the service. Tension is rising, and we're thinking it'd been better off if we just stayed home. Anybody ever felt like that? That's exactly what the devil wants you to think. Sad to say, but if we don't begin to focus on God before we leave the house, we'll have those things happen. We have a million things on our mind that we've got to do, and another million that we haven't got started on or haven't completed yet. What in the world are we going to do? We need to learn to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. What in the world? We have allowed our baggage to be so filled with everything else. We bring Saturday into the church house because we have not talked to God as of yet. We're ready for either work or vacation or somewhere in between. And when it's time to have prayer meeting, we're simply too tired and desensitized, so we just stay at home. Sadly to say, in our world and our society, can I get real with you for just a moment? Yes, Pastor, go right ahead. We allow Satan so many times for the smallest things to get us in a tizzy. How many knows what a tizzy is? I don't know why, but we allow the smallest things to get us all upset. Things like, I don't know why the pastor put Sister Whatchamacoodle in that position, because I could handle it a whole lot better. And after service, he didn't even shake my hand. And I can't believe how So-and-so come dressed, or I can't believe that they was wearing the same dress I was. That's absolutely absurd. So now because of that, I'm all in a tizzy. And then we find someone that we connect spirits with, and we can get them agree, and guess what? You just made an allegiance with the devil to stir up strife and contention that don't mount to a hill of beans. And we've let him destroy the relationship and the praise that we have for him in the service. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. When we allow the enemy to get us in a tizzy, we enter into an agreement and we start down a slippery slope. And if we're not careful, will lead us to total disconglomeration in our spiritual walk. We somehow can justify our actions only to bring hurt to our own heart, tears into the eyes of God. And again, we've allowed our baggage to become so full that we don't even have the strength to drag it. And we've allowed Satan to destroy that worship. And all it does is exalt him and lift him up. That's why I said we need to make a noise for Jesus, not a noise for the devil. Yeah. So many things. If we're not careful, we will allow the enemy to get us all in a tizzy over things that don't mean amount to nothing. In Psalms chapter 137, verses 1 through 4, the children of Israel was like that when they took them captive and they went down to Babylon. And they said, by the river of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willow tree and in the midst thereof. And there they cried, they carried us away captive and required of us a song. Can you imagine when I'm in a tizzy, how in the world am I going to sing a song for the Lord? Hello? They carried us away captive and required for us a song. And they that wasted us required of us a mirth, saying, sing one of the songs there that you sung in Zion. Verse 4, they said, why and how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I'm here to tell you that all through the Bible you'll find that God blesses people, even when they was in bondage, even when they was in captivity, even when they was going through bad times and hard times, God still blessed them because they kept the praise in their hearts. They kept the praise in their hearts. We see our dilemma so many times, but we do nothing about it. We just hope and pray that somehow it'll all go away. And I ask you today, this evening, church, what's carried you away? I'm convinced it wasn't Calgon. Some of you needed that. We've allowed the enemy to carry us away instead of getting swept up in the praise of Jesus. We need to make a noise for Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, church, we need some suddenlies that take place in our life. We need some suddenlies that take place in our church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. Church, we got to get it together in this hour in which we live. Brother Larry said it so well in his testimony. What would we do if we knew tomorrow we may be facing exactly what the Ukrainians are facing? What would we do? How would we react? I guarantee you a tizzy would not be in our vocabulary. I grant you those Christian people in Ukraine don't have one iota of a question about a tizzy right now. Hello? We've got to be united. Those people in the book of Acts, to get the power of God to fall, they was in one accord and in one place. They come together in unity for one purpose, and that was to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And all together, they let their minds and their hearts become unified as they begin to praise and magnify the name of Jesus. They was making a noise for Jesus as the Holy Ghost filled that room and filled each one of them. Philippians 2:2 said, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind." So I ask you, where have we allowed our joy to go? Where have we allowed our joy to go? Have we been absorbed by the frivolous tizzies that the devil tries to get us in? Or are we coming free and allowing the Spirit of God to use us, and we take our harps off of the willow tree and we begin to play and sing for the glory of God? No matter what our circumstances are, we know that God's still the same. Can I tell you that regardless of where you're at and what your circumstances are, it does not change God's word one iota. Yes. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." I'm reminded of the circumstance and situation when Paul was in the ship, and he told them not to leave Crete because there was a storm coming. The angel spoke to them and they went ahead and left anyway, and they encountered such a great and mighty storm that they was all scared to death. Angel of the Lord stood by Paul and said, "No, nobody leave the ship. If you'll stay on the ship, if you'll stay on the ship," look at your neighbor and say, "You got to stay in the ship. Not one of you will be lost." And as they traveled that treacherous sea, little by little, they had to begin to get rid of all the junk that was on the ship. Somebody going to preach with me now? They had to get rid of the stuff. They had to lighten their load. They had to make the ship seaworthy. They got rid of the grain. Pretty soon they had to cut the ropes on the little boats that was to rescue them. Finally, it got to the place that they emptied all the furniture. They took care of everything, took everything off. I'm here to tell you, sometimes, church, we got to evaluate what's on our boat that doesn't need to be on there and get rid of it. We've got to get rid of all the stuff that keeps us from having the joy in our hearts and our lives. Listen, can I tell you that Jesus Christ is coming? He's coming soon. I said, "He's coming soon. He's coming soon." And the skeptic said, "I've heard that all my life." But I'm telling you for sure, it's closer right now than it was the first time you heard it. He's coming back very soon. We've got to get rid of our stuff so the joy can come back and we can have worship and praise unto God once again. Genesis chapter 19 verse 15 said, "When the morning came, the angel urged Lot to hurry, saying, 'Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, and be off, lest you too be consumed and swept away into the iniquity and the punishment of the city.' But while he lingered, the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand." Dads, today sometimes we've got to get a hold of the horns of the altar of God and tell our wives and our kids, we've got to get things ready and right with God. We've got to move forward. We cannot linger, but we've got to move with God. "For the Lord was merciful unto Lot, and they brought him forth and set him outside of the city and left him there." I'm here to tell you, don't procrastinate on what you know to do. You have been given an assignment. Don't procrastinate on that assignment. Don't linger, but allow God to speak into your heart and to speak into your life. Can we give Him praise like never before? Turning over all the tizzies and the pet peeves in our life to Him, not allowing them to hamper our worship or our praise, and put them from totally aside and get rid of them, burn them, throw them in the sea, and let God be God in your heart and life. When they had brought them forth, they said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stop anywhere in the whole valley. Escape. Escape to the mountain of Moab, lest you be consumed." Church, I come to tell you in this short sermon tonight, we've got to get rid of our heavy loads. We got to get rid of the stuff that's holding us back and holding us down. Storms of life is out to take you under and take you down. We have become so occupied with our own stuff. We have stuffed our luggage with so full that we cannot run the race effectively anymore. It's pulling us down. Let us run the race with patience. The journey and the trip that's ahead of us, that is before us, let us run it with patience, that we might experience and we might know the mighty power and the anointing of God in our hearts and our lives once again. We got to get rid of the stuff that we might run this race. Are you ready to run the race? Are you ready to fight the good fight of faith? Are you ready to lay aside those things that's holding you back and say, God, here am I? Are you ready to go to top of Mount Moriah and put your all on the altar and say, God, it's me. Here am I. Take care of it. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I love and appreciate you. Lord, I pray in this short sermon and few verses of scripture that, Father God, that you'll make them come alive, Lord, in our midst right now, in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, surely life around us, even though it's so tedious, sometimes we feel like that we're swept up in the storm and don't know how to shake free. We know, Father God, we can run to you because you are our mighty fortress. You are our high tower. David said, I run to the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from God. We look to you, O God, for you are our hope, our help, and our strength. Touch your people with these words, Lord. And we thank you, God, and we know your word says they will not return void. We give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.